Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Tammy Shelfstall. I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida, and I will be your host tonight. I'm also a survivor of child abuse. Tonight's show is a question and answer call-in discussion show. We do have Dr. Lena Clark from Alpharetta, Georgia, will be our special guest and our expert. Dr. Lena Clark is a domestic violence survivor. She's a coach and an author. She's an expert in the area of mental health. Her abuse was domestic caused by her husband, she explains, who committed suicide after being diagnosed with depression and schizophrenia. She goes on to say she started her healing journey a couple years after her husband's death. Ooh, we've got a lot of background noise. So thank you, for Dr. Lena, for being here, and I will get started with the show in just a moment. Before I do, let me tell you a little bit about NASCA. The National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions. If you'd like to donate to NASCA, we would really appreciate it. It is tax deductible. Here at NASCA, we have a single purpose to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two perspectives. First, we educate the public, especially getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, and we present the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Here at NASCA, we are fighting for children. We are fighting for kids, and we're serving adult survivors. Be aware, be a voice, be a hero. We do have quite a few people who have called in tonight. If you're listening, we know we have a lot of people who Skype in, and if you'd like to join the show, I promise you it's very, very safe, and we would appreciate your support. The telephone number, if you choose to call in, is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. We have several people who have called in tonight. First, Pamela from Louisiana. Good evening, Pamela. How are you?
Hi, Tammy. I'm doing very well. I'm trying to reach our guest tonight, so I'm sure she'll be on in just a little bit.
Okay. All right. Cool beans. If not, we will just have a discussion show amongst ourselves. So that'll be great. Okay. Either way is fine. We're here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're here to support our survivors. Good deal. Thank you, Pamela.
Yeah.
We also have Mark from Louisiana. Good evening, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Tammy. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm still at work, but that's okay. I just do the radio show from my office. It's easier that way for me anyway. So thank you for asking. Okay, well, we also have Elizabeth calling in from Illinois. Good evening, Elizabeth. How are you? Can you hear me, Elizabeth? Okay, we have Elizabeth calling in from, it looks like, Illinois. Elizabeth, your mic is open, so if you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you participate. We also have Doug Silverman. Doug is calling in from Maryland. Good evening, Doug. How are you?
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here, Doug. Thank you for joining us. I know we'll
Thank
have
you.
Some really good discussions tonight, and I appreciate your participation and support.
Thank you.
Sure. We also have Kim calling in from Colorado. Good evening, Kim. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So Colorado, wow, how's the weather out that way?
Oh, it's really warm today. 95, I think, or something, but not as hot as the humidity because it's so dry. But
right.
It's probably different for you all. You're not used to it.
Yeah, we hear that. Us Southerners hear that. Well, we've got the humidity, and here in South Florida,
yeah, the humidity.
It's really bad because we just had a hurricane pass by us. So I think when it passed us, it was still a tropical storm. But it brought a lot of rain and a lot of humidity.
Yeah. Well, nice to meet you.
A lot of wind as well. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. Excuse me, pardon my cough. I really appreciate it. Well, we do have a special guest. She's not here. I'm sure something's holding her up, but that's okay. If she calls in, we'll go from there. I wanted to reach out to Elizabeth Knight from Illinois and see if she has an opportunity to say hello. Are you with us, Elizabeth? Okay. Okay, well, we have, I'm Tammy. I'm calling in from Florida. We have Pam from Louisiana, Mark from Louisiana, Elizabeth from Illinois. We have Doug from Maryland. We have Kim from Colorado. So if anyone else would like to call in, the number is 646-595-2118. So does anybody have a topic that they'd like to start with? If not, I can come up with something, but all mics are open. I would ask before you start speaking to just say, hi, you know, my name is Tammy or my name is Pam. That way we know who's talking. So does anybody have anything that's on their heart or a subject that they'd like to bring up? Anyone?
Well, this is Doug. I have a topic.
Okay, Doug. Okay.
I guess a topic would be just accepting that nothing can change the past and nothing can change what we went through growing up, and that it's, I guess, now up to us to create a happier and healthier life for ourselves outside of I guess I could say toxic upbringing. So
you're absolutely right.
So yeah, that would be it. I guess I know I ran.
Okay.
Probably
shoot. No, not at all. I really appreciate that, Doug. And that's a really good topic because you know, a lot of times I'm a firm believer in this. It's just my opinion, but I've seen it time and again, you know, especially when we first start dealing with what happened to us, it's tough. And, you know, as children, we've been forced to be silent, you know, whether it's sexual abuse, physical abuse, and neglect, you don't talk about it. You know, how dare you? If physical abuse, if you talk about it, then you'll probably get beaten, you know, and, you know, then it's obvious why they want to keep the sexual abuse quiet. Some of the neglect they can't hide because, you know, somebody goes to, you know, they're unfed and dirty and, you know, torn clothes, then it's apparent to other people. But other people just, you know, some people just take a blind eye. But, you know, we have been silenced for so long that when we finally deal with it, we want to scream it from the mountaintop sometimes. I know I did. And we wanted validation because, you know, no one could, and often no one will believe us. Or the people who do believe us, you know, tell us to shut up and never mention it again. So we want to talk about it, and you know, we need that validation. I truly believe, even if we have to give the validation to ourselves, we don't always get it from the folks who abused us. We don't get the apology and the validation that we should get, but we can get it from our support groups. We can get it from each other, and we can get it from ourselves. I got it from myself a lot, you know, to help myself understand that it wasn't my fault and I didn't do anything wrong. And those people didn't, you know, they didn't have a right to do what they did. But at some point, you know, we've got to get on a healing process. Or we'll just continue to suffer in it. So you're right. It's not going to change. You know, what happened to us, you know, happened to us. It's in the past. You can't undo it. Our abusers can't undo it either. But how do we get past it? And I think the first step is getting validation, however we may be able to get it. What are y'all's thoughts on that? All mics are open.
Yeah. Go ahead, Doug.
Thank you. Yeah. I agree. I guess. One, of course, I always heard about things I went through growing up, and two, I have my own life regrets, and I, you know, talked to my psychiatrist about that, and he mentioned doing charity work, and I donate to certain charities, and I've donated to, like, local, let's say, thrift shops, and but at some point, there's only so much I could donate, and so I have to live with what my parents did to me and what other people did to me, and also deal with some of the stuff I pulled as well. I guess it's just hard. It's emotionally and psychologically hard. So.
Absolutely. We have to forgive ourselves as well. You know, we're not responsible for the abuse that happened to us, but a lot of times it creates bad behavior and bad habits and, you know, bad relationships. And, you know, it's no excuse, but, you know, we can forgive ourselves and, you know, behave better and choose better relationships and move past it. You know, I would never wish what happened to me on anybody ever. And I wished I hadn't gone through it, but I did. Like you said, we can't change it. But it helped me to become the person I am now, you know, through a healing process. You know, I'm everybody on this call is some of the lucky ones, because if you're on this call or you're listening, you're ahead of the game because we're doing something about it. We're trying to heal, you know, and get the support we need. A lot of people don't. But, you know, I also have to understand, you know, if that hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't be on this call. I wouldn't be the advocate that I am. I may not be the compassionate person that I am. Who knows? You know, who knows? So I've got to accept what happened to me and move on, and I'll never forget it, but I can move past it. So you're absolutely right. So thank you for that.
Okay, and thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pamela, I think it was you were trying to say something. Pamela?
Yeah, I was researching about how to heal and move on, and there's some steps that we can take. And first off, I want to tell y'all that I am so thankful for my God, who has, you know, set me up to succeed and trust him that, you know, I can trust everything that happened to me to him, right? And that he knew what was happening, even though at the time I wasn't, you know, in his care, because my parents weren't Christian. They didn't believe in the Lord, and so they acted evil, right? You know, when man fell, we became knowledgeable about good and evil. We were never meant to be knowledgeable of that. But now that we are and we have a choice, we can choose good or evil. And my parents chose evil for me. And that's not my, that wasn't my choice to do. But some of the things to move, heal and move on, and I said that to say this, that before I got really in my recovery and healing, I used to wake up every morning and there was that tape going around in my head about what had happened to me. And I was so wanting to get healed from that and have that tape broken, you know, so that when I woke up in the morning, that would be the first thing that came to mind, right? So some of the things that help us heal and move on is to give ourselves credit that if we're, like Tammy was just saying, if you're willing to work on it, you know, and get to healing and you know, tell that we have a problem with it, that we're halfway to solving it. Anytime you don't admit something is when, you know, you can't help in the solution at all. And then being easy on yourself, you know, one of the things that it said about that is that we can, that what we feel about what happened to us is normal. You know, people say, well, just get over it. No, my feelings about what I went through are normal. They may not be normal to somebody that hasn't gone through it, you know, but they can't speak to my normalcy. And so one of them is be easy on yourself. And I think a lot of times we're just not, like Tammy said, forgiving of ourselves, you know, and we're not kind to ourselves. So
absolutely,
that's pretty much, remember, it's a process. It takes a while. And don't rush it.
Sure.
Don't think you have to be, you know, when the process is A to Z, don't think you have to be at M tomorrow, you know. Just be where you are and just try to make the best of where you are at the present. Somebody said the past is behind us, the future is ahead, but the present is a gift.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I've noticed with dealing with folks is when we get to a good spot, and actually I love that show Mom. I love the show Mom. I watch reruns all the time. And they had an episode where Bonnie was, you know, she had gotten to a really good place. You know, I don't know if you watch that show, but she was abused and gone through the foster care system, and you know, wasn't the best mom. And now she's, you know, in an AA group. That's what the whole sitcom's about. And she had that where she had gotten to a point where the stories were funny to her. It was just part of life. And then she got to that point of embarrassment. We get to that all the time. I see it time and again because, you know, we're broken and then we get into a healing process and we heal and heal and heal. We learn, we heal, we learn, we heal. We may go back a couple of times. But then we get to a point to where you're thinking, oh, my God, I should have done this or I should have done that. What was I thinking? It was, you know, and we beat ourselves up. Well, no, you're not the person. You're not in the same spot. You're not the same person you were at that time. You're not as broken as you were. You've healed. You've learned. You've been, you know, you have knowledge. You know, we can't beat ourselves up when we have knowledge for not making the better choices when we had no knowledge. And I see that with survivors time and again. Just like Pam said, give ourselves a break. Just give ourselves a break. We deserve it. Doesn't excuse bad behavior. We still have to take responsibility, but we do. But we can forgive ourselves, and we can make better choices. So anybody else? Kim, what do you think about all this?
Sorry about that. I was multitasking, so I was...
That's okay.
Had me on mute. Yeah, I was thinking that, you know, unfortunately for me, and I think this happens a lot, that survivors then get into abusive relations or toxic relationships. And so, you know, I've been stuck in that kind of for 30 years, being married to a man who is toxic. And so now I'm just working on getting my way out of that. So, you know, for me to really have a chance, because I was very young, and so now I'm at a place in my life where I really am ready to do really hard work and, you know, and do things that I probably wouldn't have done when I'm younger, because I know that it's going to help me be more healthy in the long run. So, yeah, just people being aware of that, that, you know, we can kind of get into that slump, and it's not really our fault, like Pam's saying, you know. It's,
right.
It's what we do. I mean, it's, unfortunately, a lot of times we do. Not everybody.
That's right.
Not falling into toxic relationships, but yeah, I definitely was one of them. So I've been working on getting a lot better. And also, I have been a facilitator for Dr. Polite for the last 5 years or so, almost 5 years. So I get a lot of healing doing those classes. It's a two-hour class, and I feel so empowered when I'm out there training other adults on how to watch for child sexual abuse and, you know, how to talk to children mm-hmm. about body safety. And so just giving people those tools has helped me a lot as well, along with the therapy that I do.
To
be healthier, but it's taken a long time,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately
mm-hmm.
for me, because I had got sidetracked. But, yeah, I can definitely relate to what everybody says, because unfortunately
okay.
we all do have struggle in different ways.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that. I know you'll be successful on your healing journey, and just stay in touch with us. I don't think I've had the pleasure of being on here with you before. I don't think so.
No, but it's
a delight to have you here. Yeah, I'm usually on here on Thursday nights quite a bit. Okay, well,
yeah,
anybody
I was on a long time ago.
Oh, really?
Because I was on a long
okay.
time ago with Bill. So I've been,
well,
and then
about?
I was on not too long ago with Pam. So, and had my testimony on there. So yeah, I've been
okay.
around.
Yeah.
I just have been off and on.
Well, welcome back.
Pamela.
I really appreciate you being here. Go ahead, Pamela.
Tammy, Kim just accepted as an ambassadorship for Colorado. We're so proud of her.
Help her. And,
okay.
yeah, we were just talking a little bit about it, but we still need to kind of get with you, Pamela,
okay.
and talk about all the details and stuff. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, cool beans.
Thank you. Very good.
Well, I wanted to give Elizabeth a chance. So Elizabeth, are you here with us? Would you like to participate? If you don't, that's fine. I mean, we have people who call in that just want to listen, and that's okay. Okay. Well, Elizabeth, your mic is open, so if you decide you want to participate, please do so. Mark, we haven't heard from you on this. What do you think about all this, Mark?
Well, one thing I would, I guess what I think about it is, I want to say this. It was not your fault. That's all I can think about. And, you know, you guys are saying you didn't have the choice and the evil happened to you. But it wasn't your fault. You didn't choose it. You didn't have really a say-so in it. So you do got it. It's a process of trying to forgive yourself, to quit thinking that it was your fault and get on with your healing journey. And I know Pam has always told me this, that, you know, it takes work. Recovery takes work. It's not like snap your fingers and everything is okay. You know, it's a long process. I mean, it was a lot of damage and trauma done. So you got to work at it to get past it. And, you know, she says that it involves a lot of effort to see that purpose. But that I think she said before. Time.
Somebody get him back. We have a fax number. Hold on.
I don't know.
Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm there. I don't know who has a fax.
Okay.
We don't.
I think it's Elizabeth Chung.
Oh.
Okay.
I have closed. Okay. We have closed Elizabeth's mic, but we'll check back with her. Go ahead, Mark.
But she's always said that it takes a mental and physical effort to achieve that purpose and that result. So it is a journey. It is an ongoing journey. I imagine you'll have ups and downs, but just keep your thought on getting to that healing point, to get past it, to know that it can't touch you now. You know, that happened and it's done. But now you go forward and work at it. It is work. You know, I know I've seen the work in Pam and her recovery, and it wasn't like overnight, you know. So, but it's a process, and it's happening, and she's gone on the journey, and she's encouraging others to get on the journey, and that's what I would have to say. Just realize that and it wasn't your fault, and work at it, and not feel bad that every day isn't, you know, a good day, because there's going to be ups and downs. That's just life. But realize that the past is gone. You know, it can't get you no more. It can't hurt you. That toxic person, that predator, that abuser can't get to you no more. So that you are free now to get on your path and get going.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Does anybody, look, we started with Doug. Doug came up with us. So let's go back to Doug and give Doug a chance to make some comments on what he's heard. Doug, what do you think?
Well, I guess I just, well, I'm grateful, one, for the phone line. Two, I'm grateful, everyone, for sharing. And you have to forgive me. I struggle. Everyone's story is valid. Everyone's story is important. Everyone is brave for coming here and sharing their stories. One thing I struggle with horribly, and this is all on my end, and I will apologize in advance, is that I sometimes struggle to listen to other people's stories because I get so overwhelmed. And I, like I said, I guess sometimes that, you know, like people have told me, why can't you get over it? Sometimes I wish I could just get over it, but it doesn't work that way. Because if it did work that way, I wouldn't be here on this phone line. And, I mean, this is just really hard work. I mean, it's like, okay, my parents did what they did. Thankfully, you know, I'm on my own. I have a career. I lease a car. I rent a place. So I can support myself. I am supporting myself. But this is a different type of pain. This is just, I mean, it's like sometimes I feel the emotional development of a 3 to 5 year old child. You know, everything's black and white, up and down, left and right. And, I mean, I shut down very easily. And I dissociate very easily. And, all I can say is that
I
think that's enough, but thank you for letting me share.
Well, first of all, you never have to apologize to us. It doesn't matter. You know, I take in some. I take, you know, because when you're listening to somebody else's story, it can overwhelm us. It can trigger us. It can, you know, it could, you know, we maybe listen to their story and we think about something in our own story, and we you know, we're thinking about our own story and not listening. It happens to us all. So you don't have to apologize to us. Take in what you can and don't worry about what you didn't. But yeah, you're right. People want to tell us to get over it, especially people who have never dealt with it. we heal in our own timeline. Now, unless somebody is, and I want to say this, and I hope it comes out correctly. I'd like to see people push along in their healing journey because it's easier when you do. And I hate to see somebody, frailing, or there's a word for it, I can't remember. But it happens. It happens to all of us. People need to heal in their own time. Some things I can heal about quicker than I can others. You know, I can get over this, and I'll never get over that. So I hear what you're saying. But nobody has this right to say, just get over it already. I mean, it's just like when, you know, if we lose a death of a loved one, you know, well, grieving, you know, we have our own process of grieving. So I agree with you there, and thank you for your share. And thank you for your participation. I'm glad you brought that up. It's been a good subject. I want to open Elizabeth's mic, but if we get that noise again, I will. Elizabeth, are you here with us? Elizabeth, are you here with us?
She might need to call back in, Tammy. Elizabeth,
okay.
If you can hear us, she might need to call back in. Just hang up and call right back. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else have any other thoughts?
I was going to talk, you know, about what dovetail on what Doug's talking about, because I know Doug real well. Me and Mark talk to him a lot, and we really care about Doug. He's a wonderful young man, and we just love him and hate what he had to go through, and we know his story well. And, you know, I just don't know how I would have handled it. You know, I was molested by my mother's second husband, and I didn't find out that she knew till I was in my 50s. If I'd have known that earlier, I think I'd be where Doug is right now and healing. I think I'd have been stuck. You know, I just want to cry when I think about his own biological parents doing what they did to him, you know. And, you know, I couldn't even imagine going through that, Doug, for real. And I just want to say we're here with you, bud, and we want to go, you know, along with you on your journey, and we want to go as slow as you need to go.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. We do have another caller who was called in. It's area code 563. So area code 563, who do we have the pleasure of joining us on the NASCA show?
Elizabeth.
It's Elizabeth. She called back in. Great.
Ah, okay. Elizabeth, are you here with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I think we had some phone issues before. It's like a fax that was coming in. But thank you for calling back in. Did you hear any of us or of what we were talking about?
Yes, I have recording of what's being said. So, yes, I have that on my cue.
Okay, well, go ahead. The mic is yours.
I just want to let everybody know I got to get a little bits and pieces. I've taken some notes because, you know, I want to send my condolence to the American Native women and children that were just found. And we are now on asking the government to support our culture of what happened to my tribal people. I want everyone to know on the panel that I'm a tribal Native woman. I'm a Sinemal Cherokee tribal, full blood. And I represent the American Native culture and the other cultures that were in slavery and the removal of our people in the Trail of Tears. I respect the crime victim, the rape, the murdered, and just people, not just my color, creed, and national origin, but all people that were in America have been unjustifiably injured. My condolence goes to each family, each mother and father, child, sister, brother-in-law, any one of the relatives. My condolence goes to you in unity and respect that our country and they look back in history as to what happened to our people, and they protect the ones that were silenced and muted and muzzled. And it ends. The Department of Police, Department of Human Services, Department of Welfare, the Department of Indian Affairs, all must comply with all rules that was written in the Constitution. And they're not following them.
Okay.
I speak on the behalf of an advocate, an activist, a chiefess of the United States American Native Women since 1612. I'm the of the treaty that was written by the King and Queen and guaranteed and promised us, and the 12 Tears in 1866. And none of this today has been honored. So now we have a woman that's in Congress. She's working with us as a Native American tribe and all tribal people, and all we are all one red blood nation. I don't care if you're my cousin and you came from an Irish descendant, but you got involved with the Native descendant. You're still my bloodline. And I love you as much as we all love each other. We're all one blood. We can't change our blood.
Well, I have to tell you, Elizabeth, I'm Indian. I'm Indian as well. On my dad's side, my grandmother was full-blooded Blackfoot, and my grandfather, my paternal grandfather, was half German and half Cherokee. And then on my mother's side, my maternal grandfather was half Cherokee. And then I mean, my maternal grandma, she had some Indian, but not a lot. But I have Indian on both sides. I have an impressive arrowhead collection. I hear you. That's my people too. So
we're drawn to our spirit. We are spirit connecting. We're coming together as one blood, one nation, one people. We don't have color, creed, or national origin. We have one blood.
Right.
My blood is red, just like your blood is. Don't judge me. Don't judge my people, because we are the same blood that the Great Spirit made us and created us to be as one.
Okay.
And we're one.
All right. Well,
one
thank
people.
You. Thank you. Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
I listen to you. I write down everybody's names. Pamela, I'm so respectful to you. I have so many names that I write names. It's like, okay, giving and healing.
Well, I'm Tammy. I'm gonna help you out. I'm Tammy. I'm the host of the show. We have Pamela, we have Mark, we have Doug, we have Kim, and of course we have Elizabeth. And this is the NASCA show. What we're discussing now is involves child abuse and supporting survivors in their adulthood. What we had started talking about, and if you wanted to share on this aspect, I invite you to do so. Healing. You know, how can we move past the pain? So that's the discussion that we have on the table now. And I wanted to see if you, I don't know what your background is. I mean, I know what you just shared with me, but as far as in the aspect of, child abuse, I don't know your story, but if you want to share, you're welcome to. If not, I want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to talk on the subject that Doug brought up. So there you go, Elizabeth. Any thoughts in reference to the discussion we have on the table?
I do.
If not, that's
I'm an American Native, and my people were first to be murdered and massacred in America, and we've never seek justice. And I'm here to support you and all the other cultures that never seek justice when they went to the police department and they filed a blank complaint in their institution. They never gave them restitution or restored what happened to their life in that time in America with unjustifiable acts of it.
I understand, and that is very important, but that's a little off topic of what we're talking about right now. So, I want to make sure, because we have a lot of people who stream in, and I want to make sure we stay on the subject, helping people heal with child, adults heal from their child abuse. So that's kind of what, the topic I want to stay on.
My sexual abuse started when I was 6 years old.
And oh, bless your heart.
Already been told. Tamara knows.
Okay.
And and Penelope knows my story. If you look back in your records, you'll hear a statement and testimony that the Great Spirit allowed me to come on your show and express my condolence to Pamela and the, your NASA that protects us. But I'm a Native woman, and I, as the five civilized tribes, believe that the government needs to go back into history and respect not only us, but the others that come over here.
Well, I want to stay away from political issues right now, because I mean that's mm-hmm. I just want to stay away from that. I've got my own thoughts, but I definitely want to stay away from that, if you don't mind. But you know, I do appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate that you've shared your story. And it sounds like that you've got a relationship with Pamela and Penelope, which are absolutely amazing. And I'd like to say, Elizabeth, I'm sorry for what you went through. You know, everybody on this call, with the exception of Mark, and Mark's a supporter, you know, we're survivors of child abuse.
Yes,
it's tough, you know. Yes, ma'am, it's
right.
Tough.
Okay. It's a healing, that we can heal ourselves, our inner selves, and go past that. I'm every day I'm healing. I have another day, good day that I'm still here at 63 years old. I'm thankful that the Great Spirit has kept me here so I can help you and anyone else in the universe that has been violated and injured without a cause. And there must be more laws, more restrictions on abuse to a child. I suffered it my whole life. I was just a young girl. I didn't know what had happened to me. I was mostly traumatized. So I speak out for all women and men and you and everybody else and the whole show and the whole panel. And I'm thankful that I'm a guest on the panel, that I can speak.
You're a welcome guest on this panel. Everybody is a welcome guest. So thank you for thanking us, but you know, we're here to support each other. So you're part of our group, you're part of our NASCA family, and I really appreciate you being here very, very much. And thank you for sharing. I want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to participate as well. It is 7:42, and we can come up with another subject, but I want to make sure anybody who had any other thoughts on the subject that Doug brought up for us has an opportunity. So does anybody else have anything? Pamela, what do you think about all this?
Well, I was, about Doug and what happens with him is, and I understand it, and it's like that tape that I was talking about going around the head, right, about the, you just keep thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, and you just can't, you know, no matter what you do, it seems like that tape won't go away. And I was looking up some things that can help. One of them is to distract yourself. You need to have like a list of things, like say when you start thinking about it, just, okay, let me go to my list and see what I can do to stop the thought, right? So what some of the things are calling friends or family, doing chores around the house, watching movies, drawing pictures, reading books, walking around the neighborhood. That's just a small list. But, you know, there's got to be so much more that you can do to just get your mind off of it. And the more you do that, the more you'll be able to do it without having to think about doing it, right? And that's where you want to get. Because you've got to stop those repeating negative thoughts, and that's one of the big major things that we need to do. And, you know, that'll help you in your attempt to get negative thoughts out of your head once and for all. And that can happen. There is hope that you can finally get that out of your head. And then once you've outlined your plan to address your remaining thoughts, take one small step to address the issue. Refer to the plan you made to solve the problem you've been assessing over. Move forward with each step slowly, incrementally, until your mind is at ease, right? So question your thoughts, readjust your life goals, work on enhancing your self-esteem, try meditation, understand your triggers, talk to a friend, and then try therapy. And, you know, therapists should be able to help us get out of those negative thinking. That's what cognitive behavioral therapy is all about, you know, to help with your thinking patterns, you know, your negative thinking patterns.
Well, you know, it is negative thinking that sometimes that haunts us. You know, I'm someone who struggles with self-esteem. I've gotten much, 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 much better. Believe it or not, I'm better than I used to be. But, yeah, I think we have to, a lot of times us survivors simply don't love ourselves. You know, for someone like me who's, you know, put down, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're worthless, you know, this world would be better off had you not been here, hearing that for years upon years, you know, it reflected who I was. These people telling me this. You know, so anytime I made a mistake, I would just torture myself. Anytime, you know, I humiliated myself, you know, more so than most people get embarrassed, you know, I would beat myself up, you know, and just torture myself over it. So I've learned through the years to love myself, you know, not an arrogant or not an arrogant love, but, you know, just a humble, confident love. You know, I am worthy. I do count. They didn't have a right to do what they did. This world would not be better off had not been here. You know, I do contribute. I am a good person. I deserve to be happy. I deserve a good relationship. I've had to teach that to myself. And often we do. And anybody who is struggling, I know we've got a couple of people who you are struggling. I know. Elizabeth, I'm not sure, you know, what she says she's struggling with the past. We've got Kim. We've got Doug, myself, Pamela. You know, we've got to learn to love ourselves. That's my little soapbox. Okay. Let's go back to Kim. We haven't heard from Kim lately. And then I want to see what Doug thinks. Kim, what do you think about all this?
Well, I did want to say I'm sorry too, Doug, that you're really struggling. And I love Pamela's idea of, you know, having a list. That's basically what I do, I think, and that's kind of what my life has been for the last 30 years is lists of things to do all the time. But and I do think that helps for sure. But then there are times that I think, like all of us, can say that I do have depression, and then like you're saying, Tammy, that we've got to be able to take that time for ourselves, and that's what I'm doing now. You know, now that my kids are raised, and I'm going to take time for myself, and that's so important. So whatever that looks like to you, Doug, I mean, you know, it's got to be. It's going to be different than, you know, it is for me or it is for anybody else on this call because we all like different things. But, you know, and one of my favorite things is to be around my grandkids. They wear me out because I've had a lot of surgeries the last few years. But I that's something that I just love. And they definitely take my mind off of things. But, I'm real sorry that you're really struggling.
To
that.
Okay.
It hurts my heart. I'm sorry about that.
Well, that's
hurts
okay.
My heart too.
We, you know, it's a daily process. Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate that. We do have another caller who has joined us, Mr. Bill Murray. Good evening, Bill Murray. How are you?
Tammy, I'm doing great. I was auditing the show and had walked away from the computer for a moment. And Christina thought she heard somebody ask me to call in. Was that you? Or did she misunderstand?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Well,
I don't think so, but I'm glad you're here.
That's okay. Sure.
We're glad you're here, Bill.
Sure. It's a good discussion, and I'm glad you're having it, too. And, Doug, you don't have to worry about where you are. It's completely normal to be where you are. You know, And in fact, you will move forward and then move back. You know, it's not even a constant. So you just get better. And fortunately, for the most part, we move, you know, four steps forward and one back, sort of, you know. We move more forward than back. And we don't lose the knowledge that we gain once we move forward, even though we struggle to get it back. And we do. We get it back. So anyway, it's a great discussion because a lot of people are under the misconception that if you stay around a certain time, you automatically get to a certain place. And that's not true. It depends on, you know, work. You have to work at it. I'm so glad that that this kind of discussion was being had tonight on this show. That's what this show is meant to be. It's an open mic forum, but it's a topic discussion where you know, where everybody can participate. So
this is Pamela.
Absolutely.
So Bill, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
This is Pamela. I wanted to ask Mr. Bill a question. Mr. Bill?
Sure.
Sure. What do you do when you have that, when a person has that tape running around in their head that I'm talking about, like when you wake up and the first thing you're thinking of is your abuse? I mean, that used to happen to me till I got, you know, past that. But did you ever go through that at point in your? And how did that? Did 12-step help that?
Yeah, because the powerless step, which is the first step, is kind of where most of the problem lives. beyond the first step, you start to get into the solution. But I'm happy to say that you don't have to be a 12-stepper to get this idea. The idea is our brains are our enemy. This is what I've said before. And what I mean by that is, until they get straightened out, the job of trauma, which it lives inside us in our brain, is to make us suffer. That's its job. It wants us to suffer. And you know, as much as we're willing to suffer, it accepts it. You know, and sometimes we're not willing to suffer in one direction. It has us change directions. You know, so we can be off on all kinds of tangents, and it likes for us to be confused and to be not centered, okay? In fact, we're all over the place in our brains. And you'll notice this, or people will notice this, and I certainly did. Trying to fall asleep is one of those times. You know, it's going back and forth and back and forth, and I actually have to get up sometimes and, like, sit in on the porch or something and just calm down. Because it is a kind of a biofeedback thing that can help, you know, in calming down, breathing and so forth, calming down, letting it go. But it's very common, you know. So.
Right. Thank you.
Oh, sure, Pam.
Okay. All right. Well, all mics are open. Does anybody else have any anything that they would like to add of what we've talked about now? We heard from Kim, and then we got some feedback from Bill. So all mics are open. We have Pamela, Mark, Doug, Kim, Elizabeth, Bill, and myself, Cammy. All mics are open. Any comments?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing real quick. It's something I was reading about. You know, ruminating is like I call that the tape, ruminating, right? And it says research suggests that the default mode network, DMN, is involved in the process of rumination. The DMN is an interconnected series of brain regions that are active when we're lost in thought, daydreaming, or reminiscing. In other words, the DMN is activated when our minds are on autopilot, okay? So that's why distraction works, because sometimes we just let our minds go, right? So it's like if something that comes up in my mind that makes me fear, that makes me emotional, that makes me this or that, I need to make my mind not not lose itself. I can actively do something to make my mind do something else, right?
Right.
So we're not recognizing that we're letting our mind take over when we ourselves have the will to do something with our mind.
Okay. Any thoughts?
Hi, this is Kim. I was just going to
say,
I mean, that makes so much sense even for me and what I was just saying of, you know, my my distraction was my kids for so long. And I think like a lot of us who have kids, you know, that's what you do. You get into that distraction of raising your kids and stuff. And then you come to a place where you're like, I don't even know how to take care of myself. I don't know, you know, what I'm supposed to do, but I know that I'm not happy. and so then we have to, you know, we need to get to that point where I think it happens at different points with everybody because we all have different distractions within our life. So, you know, what Pam is saying makes so much sense as to why I'm working a lot harder and I'm ready to do a lot harder work now that I don't have children at home anymore. That makes sense.
You know, I'd say work easy, but work
yeah.
easy. Don't work hard.
Well, that's right, though, because that's exactly what I am going through in my mind right now, because there's a lot I need to do, and I'm like, but I'm going to take care of myself first. I am putting that first, so. Yeah,
right.
Like clean out a house that I've been in for 25 years. That's
well,
going to
be
a lot of fun. Yeah, it's keeping me busy. Thank you. Thanks, Bill, for your input. That was really good.
Oh, you're welcome, Kim. It's nice to hear from
you. As always. Thank you. You too.
So here's an example, Pam, of how the application of, you know, my kind of process, which is a 12-step process, fits with what we're talking about right now. We have to keep things as simple as we can, and we are not good at that. We're all over the place. And the reason we keep it simple is because we really can't handle more than a few things at a time. We try to put it all into us. And just as Kim said, we want to finish the house by the end of the week, and then what are we going to do next week? You know, it's like, that's not how life works. So you have to eventually surrender. We use the word surrender to the problems that are going around and around in your head. Just let them go, and know that in the next portion of what we'll do, we will have a greater understanding with a higher power, whatever our higher power is going to be, with that entity's help. To solve some of our problems. We don't solve all of them all at once. You know, in fact, if you can break it down, I think this is what Kim was saying. If you can break it down to solving one thing at a time, you're better off. If you can keep it that simple. Because none of us have to resolve all our problems by tonight. But if we could do one thing by tonight, boy, it'd be behind us. I mean, I used to sponsor people, and I'd say, and they would tell me about all these problems. I'd say, well, what's your house like? What do you mean it's my house like? I said, well, how neat is it? Oh, it's terrible. It's got stuff all over it. I said, okay, so your assignment is to open one drawer, and straighten it up. And that's it for tonight. Because you know what? When you straighten up one drawer and close it again, you know it's straight, and it matters to you. It's like an achievement, you know, and you did it. But we don't give ourselves credit even for the small stuff, and we have to. Because somebody was talking about beating ourselves up. Oh, my God, we're so good at that. We are so good at that, you know. And we got to stop beating ourselves up as bad and start giving ourselves a little credit where credit's due. If you're on the call tonight, you deserve credit. Because you participated, you know. And there's lots of ways you can look for credit. And you give yourself a little mental gold star for that. And each of those things that you do, it's in the right direction, a little mental gold star. And at the end of the day, if you look at your little at your day and your report card for the day, you may have a whole mess of gold stars, especially if you try this after for a while. But you stop, on the other hand, giving yourself demerits. Because, you know, I used to have a business and I had a laundry list of, like a big legal pad with items that I was supposed to do, and I would check them off when I did them. And I'd look back at the end of the day and there'd be 3 things checked off and 25 left, and I'd beat myself up. Why? Because I'm looking at the 25 and not at the 3. So, you know, I learned not to evaluate in that sense, but to evaluate the 3 that I had checked off, gold star, gold star, gold star. And I started feeling better. It's really simple. And, you know, tomorrow you get to try it again. Same thing. I think over time you lose the desire to see yourself as a sufferer, as a person with many character defects or with blocks in your life, and start seeing yourself as someone who is healing and has some skills or some talents, and we can take advantage of those a little at a time and you improve them. Because I think recovery is progressive. It's not final, but it's progressive. So, you know, as long as we're on that path, as someone said before, we're further along than we were the day before. Even if it's 4 steps forward and 2 back, we're still further along.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Bill.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Who's that speaking, Pamela?
Yes. I was going to ask Bill, there's a saying that he has that you have, Bill, and I wanted you to see if you'd give us some insight into it. It's the saying, I now feel comfortable in my own skin. Well, how does a person that's a survivor begin to feel comfortable in their own skin? What does that mean exactly?
It's just a reference to the fact that we come here really beat up, and we're experts at this. Some of it, we're doing it to ourselves. A lot of it, frankly, we're doing it to ourselves. And, you know, other stuff we're doing because we are kind of blaming the world for where we are today. I had to stop blaming the world. I had to accept where I was today, but it wasn't the fault of the world. It certainly wasn't my fault, but I have to accept I'm here where I am today. And by making my life a little better, a little better, a little better, what I mean by comfortable inside my own skin is I don't feel as foreign. I mean, I really felt like a weirdo or like a, not a monster, but I felt defective for most of my life. And, you know, my insides didn't match my outsides and stuff like that. Well, they do now, and it's not taken all this time to get here because, you know, over time I've gotten better and better and better. And that, when I say comfortable inside my own skin, I mean the Bill I am today, I'm extremely comfortable. That's the goal. You know, is to not have the experience of that trauma brings us, the depression and you know, being morose. I'm no longer morose. I was an expert at misery before I got into recovery. I was an expert.
Wow.
That was taught to me by my mother. So, yeah. Does that help? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just an expression I came up with that it feels like I'm me. You know, I feel like I'm okay. It's like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I hear that expression. I hear that expression, you know, comfortable in our own skin. You know, we have to be comfortable with ourselves. So, and that's not easy to do sometimes. Like I said, we beat ourselves up. Doug, I want to give you an opportunity to participate. You any thoughts on your mind, Doug?
No, just appreciate hearing everyone's feedback.
Okay.
And I guess it's just, yeah, there's only so many things we could change at once. I guess sometimes I just wish it didn't hurt so much inside. But I guess maybe I have to learn to accept the fact that I'm doing the best I can, and maybe that's enough. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, who haven't we heard from? Oh, all mics are open. We've got Pamela, Mark, Doug, Kim, Elizabeth, and Bill. All mics are open, so if anybody has something on their heart, the mic is yours.
Well, let me say something to Doug really brief. I don't want to occupy the
okay.
whole show here. But, Doug, when you shared about your psychiatrist's suggestion about helping people, that is the right answer. It's the answer for what you just asked or just brought up. For how bad you feel about yourself, you know, what you do about that is you get into somebody else. And it'll help you stop thinking about yourself, and it'll help you start thinking about somebody else. And it's really a hugely important part of the process that we stop self-focused. Now, we have to do that sometimes, of course, but not consistently all the time. So the way to get out of yourself is to get into somebody else. That's also a 12-step kind of expression. That's what applies here, what your psychiatrist suggested, which I agree with her.
That's good.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay.
This is Kim again, Colby. Too. I was going to say.
Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to have my grandkids over tomorrow night for a sleepover, and we're going to do a movie night. I mean, that's very distracting. But I do. I find that I will get into a slump at times, and I will find myself getting depressed. And so it is only me that can pull myself out of it. Nobody else can do it. I talk to a counselor every week, and so, of course, I'm sure that helps too, but sometimes we need to grieve a little bit because we have to continue because it's a lifelong process, right? Working on our healing will be a lifelong process, so we have to give ourselves that time to be down and then give ourselves, you know, get ourselves ready. In my case, it's hard at times to get out and do things, so, but yet, that's what I know I need to do. So, yeah, I think you're doing okay, Doug. Sounds like you're doing okay. It's hard. You're in a hard place right now. But we're here for you. You.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Elizabeth, we haven't heard from you lately. What do you think about the discussion?
I'm listening. I got a lot of feedback tonight from Doug and
okay.
Bill and Pamela. There's survivors with a testimony. It was really awesome. I've enjoyed the show tonight and may the great spirit be with us all.
Absolutely. Okay. Mark, we haven't heard from you lately. I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to participate. Mark, do you have any thoughts on your mind?
Yes, I agree with you know, what Pamela said earlier and Bill just said, you know, and Kim was saying that distractions help. I mean, you're always, when you reach out to someone else or try to help someone else or just try to support someone else, that takes a lot off your mind of what you went through. And in the process, you also learn from those people that you are helping. If you keep them, you know, an open mind, you know, you're helping, but you're really learning too. And, you know, it is work, like we've discussed earlier, but then you keep the reality of your life in front of you and the feelings you have, but there's something about, you know, we always talk about telling our story helps a lot, and that in a way is you're helping someone else, because there's many people listening in, and telling your story, sharing your thoughts, you're helping them as well. Don't forget that. You know, you're not just us four or five on this panel. There's others listening, and you're helping them by sharing. And then when you physically go out and help someone, that, as long as you keep the mindset that, you know, I'm helping them, but then you can learn from them too. You know, life is a learning experience. I mean, we don't never graduate from life. You know, you're always learning something, you know, from little bitty things to big things. So I would just agree with the fact that if you're helping someone and sharing with someone else, you know, you're really starting and on the road to recovery and helping. And, you know, like I think Bill said, you know, it is hard, but you go forward four steps, back one, but, you know, just keep going, you know, don't give up. Just say to that, you know, mindset, that tape running around in your head every morning, you ain't going to take control of me today, because I'm taking control of this. I'm going to bust through, you know, and don't let, and keep healing your mind that way, renewing your mind that you are on your journey and nothing is going to stop you. And it wasn't your fault. And just keep remembering that.
Okay. Well, we've got about 15 minutes left. So if somebody has a subject they'd like to bring up, now would be a good time. With the time we have left, maybe closer to 20. Anybody?
I have to bring a topic up.
Okay, go ahead.
The topic of self-compassion. Instead of, I know we need self-esteem, but we need self-compassion, self-love. You know, we need to love ourselves. And, you know, it's hard to even explain that, but we need to be kind to ourselves and, you know, and we don't think of ourselves a lot. We think of what happened to us. But we don't think about ourselves today. What do I need today to make myself feel loved by myself? You know? And I think that would help, too. You know, we don't feel deserving of our own love sometimes because we think, well, this was done to me. Well, you know, I didn't deserve love. I don't deserve to love myself because this happened to me. You know? There's just no rhyme or reason sometimes to what happened to us, and we can't make sense of it. But, you know, having more love for ourselves, I think, makes us more happy. I think it does. And I think we need to work on loving ourselves.
Okay.
And it's hard to feel another person. Yeah, it's hard for us to love somebody else. We don't ever fail, really.
Well, you know, that point has merit. You know, how do you love somebody else if you hate yourself? You know, because a lot of times we end up hating everybody around us. So I think love is the answer. So. Well, I would like to make a comment. I know Dr. Lena Clark was our guest, and she didn't. You know, something must have come up. I know we tried to reach out to her, but that's okay. We've had a very rich discussion. We've got about 15 minutes left. I'm sure she'll catch us next time. Some of the things that are going through my mind right now is, you know, how what exercises can we take to break those habits of beating ourselves up? You know, one of the things that I do is I'll go into the bathroom and I'll hold my hands up in the air and try to, you know, try to put positive, you know, thoughts in my head and, you know, picture myself being successful and picture myself, you know, you know, being, you know, winning the situation instead of going in there, oh, I'm going to fail. Oh, gosh, I'm not going to do it. You know, it's going to be a disaster. You know, I think a lot of it's just retraining our brains. And, you know, habits, what did they say that a habit after 30 days, if you do something continuously after about 30 days, it'll stick? So I think we all need to get into the habit of you know, talking to ourselves, not to the point where we get arrogant. You're right, we have to have compassion for other people. But how do we, you know, how do we have compassion for ourselves? Because, like you said, it starts there. You know, what are some things that we can do or you guys are doing to build your self-esteem and to begin to love yourself? That the mics are open. Anybody?
I'll start, and I'll just give you one, okay. Ms. Pamela. Stop comparing myself to others. Stop doing that, because that just puts me in a place of, you know, instability. I need to just be myself and let the other person be their self, not try to enmesh with them and try to take on another person's identity within my own. And that's been part of the healing process as well, you know, because I was so identified with the toxic relationships I was in and the toxic things that had been done to me. And then I started seeing myself different as a person, you know, that had feelings and you know, I needed validation.
Okay. We have a little bit of background noise. Sorry about that. Okay. Well, your point has merit. You know, we have one of the Ten Commandments. You know, one of them that a lot of people overlook is thou shall not covet. You know, thou shall not covet thy neighbor. You know, and a lot of people overlook that. But a lot of other sins, you'll come about because, you know, we compare ourselves to the Joneses. We compare ourselves to the Smiths. We think, you know, we want what they have, you know, and we're on a different path. I mean, everybody on this call, you know, we've got a common thread, but we all have different journeys and different filters and different strengths and weaknesses and, you know, different opportunities. We got to make the most of what we have. And it's not easy sometimes, but I think you're right. When we start comparing ourselves to other people. And, you know, I've seen this too with survivors, you know, and, well, you know, resenting normies. It's not a normie's fault that they weren't abused. It's not their fault that I went through this and they didn't, you know, it's not their fault that wasn't their, you know, that they weren't hurt like I was. And so we can't compare. And I think that's a lot of it. That's a good example. Anybody have any comment on what Pam brought up? Anybody like to?
Yeah. Hi, this
comment?
Is Kim again.
Go ahead,
Kim. Hi, this is Kim. I was just going to say, yeah, that's all our programming, right, that we've been programmed for the last how many years we've been alive or whatever, that we're supposed to not be selfish. We're not supposed to, you know, like we were saying earlier. And so it's all about how can we change that in our head? Because we can all go, you know, to counseling and therapists and psychologists and everything, and but it's not really going to click until you decide that it's going to click in our heads, until we want it to. And for me, you know, it's huge in getting out of a toxic relationship that I'm in. So that's how I'm taking my power back, and I know that that's empowering mm-hmm. for me. It's also very scary, but
mm-hmm.
but it's very empowering, too, to do that.
Okay. Take our power back. Absolutely.
Take power back. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Does anybody else have a comment on what we've discussed or maybe an idea of what you guys may do differently to help, you know, build that self-esteem, build that love for ourselves. Anybody?
Just Pamela.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that really would help us love ourselves is to change our thoughts, okay? But an example to do that to me would be get a notepad out, and if you're having bad thoughts and that tape going around your head, write those thoughts down, okay? And once you write them down, then go back and rewrite them. In other words, I don't have the ability to do this. I'll write that down, whatever it is you're trying to do. I don't have the ability to work at my job good, you know. Then you can come in on the other side of the pad and say, no, I can do my job well, you know. And just every time that thought comes up, that distorted thought, just keep at it. Keep like a piece of a stone. Just keep chipping away at it. And just change that thought to something else, and eventually that thought will go away.
Mhm. Okay. All right. Well, you're right. It's habit. You know, habit. If we can change our habit. You know, change our behavior. You know, instead of looking in the mirror, some people look in the mirror. We have someone. She's not on the show. But she said she hated looking in the mirror. And when she did, all she did was beat herself up. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, look in the mirror and smile at yourself and love yourself. Yeah, I had two different people tell me, you need to go look in the mirror. Oh, yeah, and I think I posted something on Facebook. I did look in the mirror, and it smiled back at me. You know? So, you know, the person who made that comment, you know, naturally – you know, the feedback that she got was, you know, you should love yourself and go in the mirror and say nice things, but it's easier said than done. So, especially when you've been doing it for years upon years. But that's a good example. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to share on some thoughts, especially if anyone's streaming in that might be helpful to someone who's listening who hasn't called in? Anybody?
No, I was just going to say that's funny. This is Kim, that because I was just told on a coaching call the other night to look in the mirror and to say nice things to myself. And uh-huh. I haven't done it yet. So, because that's awkward.
Girl.
It's awkward to do. It really is. But I'm working on getting up the courage to do it. So I'll work on it.
Well, you know, even in Toastmasters, you know, when I was in Toastmasters International years back, it's been a long time, but that was one of the techniques that they taught about, you know, getting yourself prepared to speak in front of people, you know, practice in front of the mirror. And it is awkward at first, but after a while that goes away. It just goes away. If, you know, just spend 2 minutes in the morning, looking in the mirror, saying nice things to yourself. You know, after about 3 or 4 days, it won't be as awkward. You got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely. Doug, what do you think? What suggestions that would you like to share? You know, about, you know, anyone who may be listening that hasn't, you know, called in yet. You know, what advice would you give them to be nicer to themselves? Any thoughts from you?
No, I have nothing. Maybe the serenity prayer. I guess that would be the serenity prayer, relaxation music. I mean, I like jazz and new age music. And so that would be my suggestions.
Okay. Does anybody know the serenity prayer? Because I do not. I mean, I've heard it, but I don't know it. Does anybody know it? I'm sure. I can look it up.
I know it.
Go ahead, Val.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Okay.
Well, that's a good prayer. That's a very good prayer. Because sometimes we beat ourselves up on stuff we can't even control. So,
you know, one thing I was going to say, or I had in my mind, and I wasn't going to say it, but I'll say it anyway, is that if I...
Are you there with us still? Oh, okay.
Here I am.
okay.
As far as this comparing, you know, where we are to where somebody else is or whatever, I want to make sure that people understand that those other people that we're comparing ourselves to are not necessarily what we think they are. In other words, all of us have kind of an inner dialogue, and for many of us it's a turmoil that we are suffering from. All trauma people have that. And, you know, when we look at somebody else, they may have a really good facade on, but still be suffering inside. In other words, don't compare your insides with somebody else's outsides, because their outsides may not be what they feel inside, you know? So we have to be careful that we don't do that to ourselves, and that's unfair to us to compare to somebody else when we think we know what they're at, and we don't. The other thing, the last thing I'll say, Tammy, is I reflect on the words or on the phrases patience, kindness, tolerance, and love. And I don't know very much about these things when I first got here, but they are really important for me to start to sort of contemplate what do they mean, not just for others, but for me. You know,
okay.
I have to be patient with myself, kind to myself, tolerant with myself, and loving to myself, as I said here, before I can really do that for others. So,
right.
Thank you for letting me share tonight.
Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. You must have heard us. You must have heard us calling for you, even if we didn't, right? You knew you were wanted and loved and needed here.
Right.
Okay. Well, we've got 2 minutes left. Why don't we go around about and give some final thoughts? Pamela, what are your final thoughts? All right. Well, let's go to Mark. Mark, what are your final thoughts? Oh, you're here? Okay. Go ahead.
My final thoughts is just learn how to love yourself. Take a bubble bath, light a can, put the music on. Love yourself.
There you go. Mark, what about you? We're running out of time, but really quickly, what are your final thoughts, if any?
I would just say every day is a new day, and there's going to be challenges in your life, and you've got to deal with them, but be strong and just keep telling yourself that you will succeed. You will overcome.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Doug, really quickly, do you have any final thoughts for anyone listening?
No, but thank you.
Thank you for being here. Kim?
Yeah, no, I love all those final thoughts. Yeah, just love yourself, I think. That's the hardest thing to do, but we as survivors need that the most.
Absolutely. Elizabeth, quickly, do you have a final thought that you'd like to give?
No matter what anybody says or does to me, I'm still a worthwhile person.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for being here, Elizabeth. Bill, really quickly.
I put a new article on the front page of the website about the Script Conference, which is a week from tomorrow. Everybody can go because it's a Zoom event, and it's completely free. I do recommend you look at that article and the 2 days of workshops and so forth that are associated with the Script Conference next Friday and Saturday. Thanks, Tammy.
Cool being. Thank you, Bill. Thank you all for being here, and God bless the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors of child abuse. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Tammy.
Good night.
Blog Talk Radio.